I said 1, 2, 3, are you ready for this?
1, 2, 3, are you ready for this?
People, get ready.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Gather round your radio now for Uzi and Aaron.
Welcome to the early Friday. That's what I'm calling today because of the public holiday tomorrow.
I forgot.
No matter what side of the political fence you're on, and or you don't have to be on. I'm not on any side. I'm for everyone.
Well, I'm on the side of holidays. That's the side I'm on.
And we've got one tomorrow. So for most people, some people are choosing not to take the holiday, and we will discuss that after 7 a.m.
Well,
but
I think
right
you should
work. I should work.
Mm.
No, I'm not working because I've got a. Well, I am working. I've got my son's got a basketball tournament, which. I have to drive him to, so that's
work.
It is work. I'll be scoring. I'll be there. No. Yeah, trying to get a couple extra points on his side of the ledger. Yep. That was 33. No, it wasn't. Yeah, it was.
I think
it was
33. There's no replays. I'm almost certain it was.
Jeez, my son played in a 3v3 at tournament the other day. My son's 13, and he was playing against kids who were dunking. They were dunking the ball.
How old were these children? How old were these dunking
children? I don't know.
Are they men who were failed and just wanted to go back and get some glory? Hang on. How old was the dunking child?
There was two dunkers, and the whole stadium was just roaring every time they dunked.
Of course.
And my son was on the other end of that because they were dunking over the top of him.
Oh, well, he's getting posterized.
Yeah, but he actually didn't step in their way.
You wouldn't.
He just got out of their way.
Did they jump straight over your son? Did they jump over your son's head?
My son really got out of the way. So they had a clear run to the hoop.
Yeah, good on him. Yeah, good.
Yeah, I thought maybe you could stand under it at one point and take a charge, couldn't you? He said, It's not worth it, Dad. It's not worth it. So anyway. So
not worth the TikTok humiliation. No, but what is it? Were they under 16, these dunking children?
Yes, under 16. Well, they're under 16.
That's an incredible situation that there are children under 16 that can currently dunk.
Yeah, they're 15, they're 14, and they are dunking. It's full-size hoops. It's unbelievable.
It's not Nerf basketball.
No, it's not Nerf basketball. It's proper basketball. So, on the subject, you know what? Are we giving Ed Sheeran tickets away today?
It depends what you mean. It depends if you think... It's Ed's day, and everyone on air with us today gets a double pass to see Ed Sheeran at Accor Stadium Friday 24th of Feb, Saturday 25th of Feb. It depends or not if you believe that or not.
He's the highest selling live artist in history, and he doesn't have to give away free tickets, mate, because he's already sold all the tickets, well, not all of them, but for this tour, but you know what I mean? So this is an incredible effort.
It's staggering. Even the way you're speaking about it now is filling me with chills because a double pass to Ed Sheeran to go to a Accor Stadium to see him all morning if you get on air with us all morning.
Now, Kate Langworth will join us a little bit later on. But when we come back, Ed Cavalier told me a story about his parenting, which is, it made me sad. And it's humiliating for you, Ed. Uh-huh. And you're going to have to tell... everyone, that story next.
Uzi, Ed and Aaron.
Ed Cavalier, you possibly could be nominated as Father of the Year because you're very attentive, you're on hand, you're someone who enjoys hanging out with his children. You've got two of them now. Your firstborn is 5.
Yes.
And he's a well-mannered young man who is, he looks like his parents... care about him.
Thank you.
But you have told me a story off air, which it's embarrassing for you.
Now, normally
really embarrassing.
Normally I would argue with you, but I am in a shame spiral, so I'm going to admit it. I've only had one real moment where I've thought to myself, I'm not a good father and I'm not doing a good job, and it's something that I go on and on and on about at home, so much so that my wife Tiff's just like, shut up, like genuine bit of shut up.
I'm normally live and let live and don't beat yourself up, but you should beat yourself up because you are outsourcing a job. What is the job you're outsourcing?
Teaching my son to ride a bicycle.
That is a rite of passage. That is something fathers have to do for their sons and daughters.
No.
You are paying another person. Are you paying them, or are they doing it out of the kindness of their
I'm
heart?
I'm paying someone.
Paying a bicycle professional to teach a 5-year-old how to pedal.
Yes.
Why can't you do it?
I've tried. I had the balance bike. He didn't like it. He fell off once and now he's scared. And then we had the bike. We got him another bike with training wheels. But then people were telling me, oh, no, training wheels, no one does that anymore because it doesn't teach them balance. So then we went back to the balance bike, but then he didn't like it. And then he didn't want to pedal. He thinks pedaling is annoying. He saw someone at the park. He saw someone at the park with one of those bikes where you pedal and they sit in the back and they don't do anything. They get pulled along in a buggy. Yeah. And he goes, well, Daddy, why can't we just do that? I said, that's not the point. You need to learn to ride a bike. And then the other day, and he needs to have a look at himself. I don't know if you look at Hamish Blake's Instagram.
I just saw it then. It's weird.
Every moment.
Just popped up. It was weird. Yeah.
Wow. Every single moment is him waging war against other fathers of them not being as good as him a father.
I know. So and he gets he puts 4 up this million about, likes no, no, on each
I
photo.
I know. Yeah. So he's got this thing about, I just took my family on a 100-kilometer bike ride, and there's his lovely family all having a beautiful bike ride. And my wife holds up the phone and she goes, yeah, look at this. Look what they're doing. And I cannot get him to even sit on the bike anymore. So I finally had enough. I said, that's it. So I've got to outsource. It's Hamish's fault, one. Two, it's society's fault.
No,
three, it's 5G. You know, then in the vaccines, you put the vaccines in the mix. And am I? What can I do?
Well,
I can't do anything.
I don't know
the
where you're at.
The way they are.
But you know what? I thought you were the perfect dad. The arm is not only chinked, it is split in half. You are useless. Not
did you
to be
teach
able to...
your children to ride a bike?
Of course I did. It's what you do. And you ride along beside them and you hold the bike and then you just go. And eventually they're like, oh, my God, I'm riding on my own. And it's a beautiful moment.
It's a beautiful moment.
Well, it's like you have given that moment away to some professional who's doing it just for the cash.
Yes.
And it is awful. And people need to tell you, you know, there's no one listening to us whose children learnt to ride a bike using a professional. There isn't anyone. There's none.
All right. Well, look, 131060, did it take you a long time to learn to ride a bike? And who taught you to ride a bike?
Or are you a parent? You know, is there anyone, have we got any parents listening whose children can't ride a bike and they're over the age of 5? You know?
Okay. Oh, that'd make me feel better. Non-riding children over the age of 5. And did you learn to ride a bike when you were old, 15, 16, 28, 38?
Is there anyone listening to us right now who can't ride a bike?
Well, no, there's no one listening to us who can't ride a bike. I'm the only
one. I mean, who has like full use of their arms and legs? Or, you know, maybe they have balance issues. Some people have balance issues.
All right, if you've got Hughie,
Ed and Aaron.
Ed Cavalli, another Ed, less famous Ed, let's be honest, still a great Ed.
I can accept that.
But you, I thought, was a great father until this morning when you told me what?
I have failed at teaching my 5-year-old son to ride a bike. I've tried a number of times. So today I am paying someone else, a stranger, to teach my son how to ride a bike, and I feel ashamed about it.
So what you are teaching your son, though, teaching him properly, is that if you if at first you don't succeed, quit. Quit and pay someone else to do it while you sit on the sidelines watching.
Oh, I didn't say I was going.
It is, well, you will go. You will go because you'll still try to mansplain the guy. I can imagine you, do it like this. And the guy will go, mate, I'm the professional. You rang me.
Why do you assume it's a man?
Because they don't know what you're like. You're like, no, I've got to get a man to do it. So is it a man? Is it or not?
Yep.
It is, yes. So Matt from Marylands, is Ed's a disgrace. Is that fair to say, Matt?
Hey, guys. Look, no. I think you are. I think you both are, though. That's mainly because if you have to pay your kid to ride a bike, to learn how to ride a bike, it's obvious he doesn't want to do it. I didn't learn how to ride a bike until I was 12, and I've got no issues with balance. I was a gymnast up through high school, and it's because my dad forced me to learn.
And at 12? Where was he? Where was 12. He from? Yeah, but where was your dad from ages 0 to 12? Was he in Southeast Asia and then just wandered back one day with a bike in his hand?
No, you know what, Matt?
Weekends. There you go.
You know what? How old are you, Matt?
I'm 30 now.
Yeah, this is the problem. With your generation and the generations that have followed you, Matt.
Here we go. Yeah, here we go.
And I tell you why, Matt didn't learn to ride a bike till he was 12 because Matt had full-time chauffeurs before that.
There we go.
His parents were driving him all over town. When I grew up, Matt, in the 70s, your parents drove you nowhere and you either walked or you learned to ride a bike so you could actually get places.
That was actually my dad's attitude. You either catch the bus or you walk. He wanted to. He wanted us to learn how to ride a bike, but because that was his agenda.
But who drove you though? Did your mother drive you? Who drove you to the gymnastics classes?
We didn't drive anywhere.
Where'd you get to gym?
I practiced. I practiced in the gymnasium itself at school. But
he's got you there. He's got you there. He's a working class gymnast. Thank you, Matt. You're going to Ed Sheeran. He got you there, didn't he? He's a working class gymnast in his leotard who would walk.
Was he tumbling on the way to school? Was he? I don't know what's going with Matt. I think I made a good point.
No, I loved your transport point. That was a beauty. Yeah, Nikki from South Penrith. How many kids you got? Nikki.
Hi guys.
How many kids you got?
I have 7 kids, and 2 of them don't know how to ride a bike. Okay. The 12-year-old and the 14-year-old girls.
Yeah.
But my 3-year-old can ride a trike. So you needed to get him on a trike before you got him on a bike.
Don't start. Nikki, don't start. But, I tried that.
But why don't those 2 older ones know how to ride a bike? Because you were too busy like making new kids, were you, to teach them?
Well,
what happened there?
Yeah, and chauffeuring them around. You're exactly right.
Yes, yeah. The chauffeuring, yes. That's part of the issue.
Okay.
So,
yes,
but you know what? She's got too many children to even afford. There's too many. You would have to have a whole new sort of garage to put all these bikes in, wouldn't you?
No. They all could have had a bike, but the 2 girls chose not to have a bike.
What are the age ranges? I need to find out the age ranges. Is 14 the oldest or is that a middle child? Where
no,
are we at?
24 down to 3. I'm busy.
Thank you, Nikki. Just quickly, Beck, our beautiful producer, Beck. Hi, Beck.
Morning, guys.
How old are you today?
I am 27 years old.
Want to go for a bike ride?
I wish. I really wish. I just have no clue how to ride a bike.
You cannot ride a bike.
I can't ride a bike.
So say your life is in danger, there's a bike, mm-hmm. and you need to get away quick. Would you just run? You wouldn't get on that bike?
I would have to just try run. There's no chance of getting anywhere on that bike.
Or throw the bike at them.
Yeah.
Is this a parenting issue? Do you have parents? Or?
I do. I think they just missed me. My 3 younger brothers all can ride a bike, all were taught, but for some reason, me being the oldest girl just was never taught how to ride a bike.
Oh, this is awful.
Can we do something for Beck? We should get people who can't ride a bike into their adult life. We need to get this professional to turn their attention to this and get a bike going. A tour to adults.
I've got to see Beck on a bike.
I want to see Beck on a bike. I don't know if I can do it. I just
all right. Our Australia's very own Kate Blanchett has been nominated. Can we hear that moment?
And now the 5 nominees for performance by an actress in a leading role. Kate Blanchett in Tar.
Yeah, we don't really care about the others. So Kate Blanchett, who is a... Look, she's been nominated for a number of Oscars. She's won an Oscar, hasn't she? She won one, I think, back in the day. At least one. Maybe she won 2.
Oh, I don't know. I feel like she's always nominated. Every time she looks, serious into a camera, they just throw awards at her, so that she can then get up and go, "We've got to stop this televised horse race. It's the patriarchy."
That happened recently. That
story, Barreau.
That was a bit much. I agree, but I had no idea.
Are endorsements part of the patriarchy? Millions and millions of bucks to endorse perfumes.
Look, we're not talking about your feud with her. We're talking about Guy Pearce.
Whoa,
another superstar actor.
He's a superstar. I'm a nobody. Wait a second. What are you saying?
Well, Guy Pearce, who shot to fame through Neighbours and then became a Hollywood star. He's acted with Russell Crowe in a film called L.A. Confidential.
Yeah.
And he's gone on to have a great career.
Yeah, absolutely.
He has been having an online go at Kate Blanchett.
Fantastic.
So when it was announced that she was up for another award, not the Oscars, but an early one, there's so many awards.
Yep.
He has tweeted saying, I hope Ana de Armas wins.
Yeah, incredible performance. For her performance as Marilyn Monroe, remember she was the actress that said that they could feel Marilyn Monroe's spirit on set with them while they were shooting it?
I can't remember that, but she did say that.
Yeah, she did, anyway. And everyone said, oh, wow, that seems plausible.
You know what? The guy who did it.
Actors are the worst people. All right, but can I just say that?
Yeah, but I want to pump up another Aussie first.
Okay.
The guy who did Chopper, the Chopper the movie with Andrew, Eric Bana, Dominic. Yeah. He did this Marilyn movie, Blonde, the one that this other woman who Guy Pearce wants to win. He did that. He directed that movie.
Okay.
That movie also has been nominated as one of for the Razzie as one of the worst films of the year. So
yeah, and I think they might be bang on. Now, Tom Cruise hashtag snubbed his performance as Maverick in Top Gun Maverick. Nothing for Tom.
You know what?
They just hate Tom. They hate Tom.
But what about bloody, you know, also the Avatar, one of the biggest films of all time. Avatar 2. What about Sam Worthington in that? Why not give him a nomination? You know? Anyway, let's get back to this. We need to get back to the... what do you want to say?
I want to see if you can guess the movie. Here is Cate Blanchett in one of her performances. Oh.
Came to my rescue when one of my mother's many gentlemen friends was attacking me with a claw hammer. This woman has dents in her skull from hammer blows. What do you know about attacks?
Right, is that Cate Blanchett?
Which movie is that?
She's got good. That accent's pretty good, though. A lot of Aussies have trouble with accents, and that was a pretty good accent.
Yep.
That movie, I got no idea. What is it? I just don't know.
Dude, Where's My Car?
It was not Dude, Where's My Car? That's with Ashton Kutcher.
That, friend, was Meryl Streep in one of her things that she does the same as
Cate Blanchett. I meant to know.
I'm going to do some acting.
You know
and
what?
Then they're going to give me a little statue for it. And then I'm going to get up and go, oh, my God, me again? Oh, my God.
Yeah, all right. Can I go back to Guy Pearce? He had a crack at Cate Blanchett back in 2008.
Oh, it's old school feud. This has been going for a while.
Where he got asked about why he's not doing a Sydney Theatre Company play. And he said, the money's not great. And guess he said, if only I got something like this. He said, if only I got a fraction of what Cate Blanchett was getting as the director of the company.
Oh, yeah, baby.
So he
wanted to do Puppetry of the Penis. I said, no.
Anyway, good luck to Cate. I hope she wins.
Good luck to all him.
Some pride, if you will.
Up next, Husey yesterday did a searing, a fantastic 5-star review of Prince Harry's tell-all memoir, Spare. And you're back in the ring to take another swing because you've kept reading and you've told me that you missed the best bit of the book yesterday.
Yeah, I was only 60% through and he hadn't met Megan at the time. Now he's met Megan. And there's an exchange between Prince Harry and the Queen, the dear late Queen, which I will never forget. You've got to hear him describing the moment he asked the Queen if he could marry Megan. All right, can't miss it. We want to speak to people who ask for permission to get married. So it feels ye oldie, but did you or did your partner or maybe your children, did they ask you for permission? So I want to marry so-and-so. Is that okay?
Yep. So, 131060, lines are open. Did you ask permission to get married or will you ask permission for folks to get married? 131060, lines are open.
You get on air, you get yourself Ed Sheeran tickets. Prince Harry's book, Spare, is the highest-selling non-fiction book in history, Cate. It is...
Fastest or highest?
I don't know. Either both. I'm not sure. It sold a lot of copies.
I mean, it may end up being the highest.
Yeah, we take the Bible out of it because, you know, anyway, we've discussed that. You know, anyway, the Bible, put that to one side. So it sold millions of copies. The Bible sold multi-millions, but Prince Harry's book.
Exactly. We're going to put it to one side and then you bring it back in.
Stop bringing it up.
All right. So now I've already played some bits because Harry voiced his own audio book, as I think you voiced your own audio book for your book, Cate.
I read my own book.
Yeah.
Ciao Bella. Did you say what's it called?
My book. Yes. I've read it, I'm in it, and I love it, but I just, for a second, forgot what it was
Ciao
called.
Bella.
Ciao Bella. Ciao
Bella,
yes.
Easily. In fact, it's being reissued, Husey.
It's, best, it's another bestseller, no doubt. It's probably the second highest selling.
I wrote it myself.
Second highest selling non-fiction
book in
history.
Are you taking the Bible out of it?
Yes, with the Bible. Well, third if you include the Bible. Anyway, so I hadn't got to the point where he met Megan when I reviewed it yesterday. Yeah. So he is in love with Megan. Megan.
Yes.
Yeah, and he wanted...
Which everyone was very happy for him, don't forget.
I know that, but you know what? Mm. And the start of the rift actually between him and the real rift between him and the royal, the palace, was that they wouldn't go to war over mean things that were said to Meghan or written about Meghan. They wouldn't go to war. His father, his brother, everyone said, just don't read it, mate. We've all had mean things said to about us. Just don't read it. And he's like, no, I have to read it. And I think he's got, he must have his own name on Google Alerts because he reads every single thing that's written about him.
And also she's very online as well.
It's crazy.
You know, anyways. She's a modern woman and she's an actress and actresses can't hear enough about themselves.
No, that's true. So, but I want to get to the point. This is, he has to ask the Queen for her permission so that he can marry Meghan. He's like he didn't realise he had to and people told him he had to. He wasn't sure he said, but then he's under so much pressure. Because in the book, and you're not going to hear him say this, but in the book he says, if she says no, I can't marry her. I'm going to have to let her go.
Yeah, if the Queen says no.
That's what
Holy moly.
And why, Harry? I mean, you're only in the position you're in because a king abdicated.
Exactly.
You know, what are you going to abdicate from? What, from being fifth or sixth in line? It's weird. Mm. But anyway, so he wanted to find a good time to ask her. This is where he reckons a good time would be.
Shooting trips always put Granny in a good mood.
The royal family loves shooting things. They go they shoot everything. They just all go out with their guns and their hunting dogs.
They all love it. Remember, Diana didn't love it and it upset her.
Well, everyone else does.
But they mean the born royals.
Well, I'm saying. Mm. Well, the Queen loves it. So they all go on these trips regularly where they just shoot. They shoot deer. They shoot. And this trip, they were shooting birds.
Grouse.
I don't think that's great.
I think that was literally the bird that they were shooting.
They're out there with their butlers and all their entourages and they've all got the guns, including the Queen. She's got a gun as well.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
She's in her late 80s probably at this point and she's out shooting. Yeah. And this is Harry describing the moment where he wants to ask the Queen for permission to marry Meghan.
She began looking for dead birds while her dogs hunted. While we scanned the ground for dead birds, I tried to engage her in some light chat to loosen her up.
They're surrounded by just maimed and injured and dead wildlife that they have just been plucking out of the air with their indiscriminate gunfire. They're just shooting everything. But this is the moment where he asks the question.
As the dogs leapt up, as I thought of petting them, but then remembered I had a dead bird in each hand, their limp necks nestled between my fingers, their glazed eyes rolled all the way back. I feel you, birds. Their bodies still warm through my gloves. I turned instead to Granny. I coughed. Granny, you know I love Meg very much, and I've decided that I would like to ask her to marry me.
It's just a beautiful moment.
Okay, all right. I'm not an ornithologist. Is that a bird person?
Yes, it is.
Do birds' eyes roll back in their heads?
When they listen to that rubbish, they do.
I don't think birds' eyes roll back in their heads.
But he feels them. He feels their pain.
Yeah, you can't feel birds,
Kate. Well, he seemed to really take pleasure. He seemed to take pleasure in the description of their warm bodies.
The empathy he feels with those animals who were just flying, living their life before they got shot out of the air. He's got one in each hand. He's got a dead bird in each hand.
Yes.
His grandmother's surrounded by more dead birds. And he said, I love this woman.
Yes. He wants the bird in the bush.
What did she say? We're going to come back. You'll hear what she said.
Okay,
and then other people are going to talk. So I'm going to play this bit now, aren't I? Yes?
Yeah.
The moment. So Prince Harry, this is Prince Harry in his own words. He's gone hunting with his grandmother, the late Queen, because they all love shooting things. They're surrounded.
In the book, sorry, Hugh, did he pretend that he's not into hunting? He only went to soften up the Queen?
No, he loves hunting.
Or does he address his own love of hunting?
No, he loves it. He's a really good shot.
He loves it as well.
Yeah, he shoots deer. He shoots everything. He's really into it. Yeah, absolutely. Oh. So, and the late great Queen loved it as well.
Meghan would love that.
Well, I don't know. Whatever. They love it. The royals love shooting things.
Yeah, they love it.
They love killing things and they love their dogs dragging them away. So they're surrounded by dead birds. He's asked the Queen whether he can marry Meghan and this is her response.
I stood completely still, as motionless as the birds in my hands. Mm-hmm. I stared at her face, but it was unreadable. At last she replied, "Well then, I suppose I have to say yes."
She had to say yes.
Oh, she had to say yes. Wow, that's an unqualified blessing, isn't it? Susie, Ed
and Erin. So Prince Harry asked his grandmother, the Queen, for permission to marry Meghan on a hunting trip. Have you got the moment there, Nick, where she gave her response?
I stood completely still, as motionless as the birds in my hands. I stared at her face, but it was unreadable. At last she replied, "Well then, I suppose I have to say yes."
So two dead birds in the hand meant yes from grandma.
Now, he softened her up with the kill.
Now, Kate, you asked, you know, Peter, your husband asked your father permission?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. I didn't know that he had done that.
And was it given straight away, did he say? Was the response immediate?
I assume so. I mean, we got married. And my father was there, as you know.
Now, Ed, did you ask your father-in-law permission?
Yep, we were overseas. We were in America, and I rang my father-in-law, and I said, "I've got something I'd like to ask you, or, you know, I would like to ask if it's okay to propose to Tiff, your daughter." And his exact words were, "I'll call you back."
Oh, wow. He had to have a meeting.
He had to go and ask Tiff's mum if it was okay. Because he's like, "I didn't know you that well," so I asked her.
Oh.
And was it a quick callback? How long did it take to get the callback?
Most of the day, and then the time difference got a bit weird.
Goodness, that is,
I thought it was just a formality. Stressful. I thought if someone is in this day and age on board enough with the tradition to ask you, then it's a given that you'll go. Well,
can you say no?
And how lovely I've been included in this process.
I didn't think it was like the gas company and we'll call you back somewhere between the hours of 8 and 7 the next month. Mm. All right.
Now, I'm pretty sure I didn't ask.
That's right, yes.
No, you wouldn't have.
I'm actually going to get that confirmed. I'm pretty sure I didn't ask.
You can't remember.
I can't. I'm fairly sure. I will text. Did I ask?
Who are you going to text? Who are you going to ask?
No, I'll text my wife. It'd be weird if I texted
Holly
father-in-law.
Well,
that'd be weird. Because he mightn't be able to remember either, you know. He's got 20 years on me.
I'm pretty sure he would remember. And I don't think it's age that stops you remembering whether or not you asked him.
Trauma.
He's not a drinker. He's not on drugs.
Well, the father-in-law's more traumatised than using.
Who we got?
Transaction.
Catherine from Curran's Hill. Is this your ex-husband, Catherine?
Yes, it is.
And did he ask for permission off your...
We took my mum out to her favourite Chinese restaurant. Then while we've ordered, we're sitting down chatting. Then all of a sudden he pops up and says to my mum, "I'd like to ask for your daughter's hand in marriage." She put her fork down and looked directly to his face and said, "You're not good enough for my daughter."
Wow.
Now, that is huge. You ex-husband, so was your mother right?
Yes, she was. Always listen to your mum.
Yeah, so you ignored what she said and he ignored it and you got married anyway. Did she come to the wedding?
Yes, she did. She came and she had a good time. She got a bit tipsy. And still, even when we went round that circle, she goes, "I said, you're not good enough." And she was right. 6 months later, we separated. 2 years later, got divorced.
God, she was really right.
When he got the no from her, was he devo by that? Or is he one of those people who just barreled on confidently anyway?
Yeah, just barreled on. He was a confident guy. And then when she said it the second time, he's like, "Oh, she don't like me." I went, no.
And, so it was over quickly. And did another man enter your life?
No, not many years later, but no.
Yeah, wow.
Okay.
Here is a dramatic story.
Yeah, that was amazing. Jackie from St. Andrews, is this your daughter?
Yes, my daughter's just recently engaged and my son-in-law-to-be has called us to ask permission after a spur of the moment. I'm going to do it today.
Oh,
so
really?
I thought there was I thought there was something wrong because he never calls. So I thought something had happened because they'd recently moved out and there was a pause on the phone. So I thought he's got bad news for me. But he rang and asked and I said, "Well, hang on, I'll just get your father to be." And put the phone out to my husband to get his permission.
Jackie, was that thrilling to get that call?
It was a about time call.
Was it? How long has it been?
They've been together nearly 4 years. And we actually had a family trip up to Airlie Beach in September, and we all thought it would happen then. And it didn't.
Yeah,
so yeah, he surprised us in the blue in November.
There's a lot of pressure on every trip. Over, I reckon you get past 3 years in a relationship, and every holiday there's pressure. Every single holiday.
And every dinner out.
Ah, no. So it's still they're still together.
What's gonna happen.
They're still together.
Together. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're happy with him? He's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, great.
He's a good guy.
Sounds like he needs to call a bit more often, though.
Susie, Ed, and Erin.
So at the airport yesterday, a woman said, "Do you want a lift?" You know, she sat beside me on the plane. She started talking to me just before we landed, which is the time we talk to people, isn't it? If you want to talk to someone, you wait till just you're about to land.
So. You don't start at the at the beginning of the trip because you don't know what Pandora's box you'll be unlocking. And what bees will be buzzing you for the next hour and a half?
She'd been on a trip because her husband had given her a gift for her 50th birthday party. So, and she'd taken her two daughters somewhere, and yeah, good on them. So, and they were coming home. One of the daughters was coming home. So, so we're there at the airport, and she said, "Have you got a car?" I said, "No." And she said, "Do you want a lift?" I said, I told her where I was going. She said, "We live just next to it." I said, "Fair enough. All right." So.
Which is so nice.
Yeah.
So I'm in the car with this woman and her daughter, who I think was either 16 or 18. So, yeah.
Did you
so,
sit in the front seat or the back seat? Where
I sat in the front
seat.
Sat in the front seat.
Did you?
Yes. Well, the daughter immediately went for the back, so there was no choice. I had to sit in the front. Wouldn't it be weird if the mum was in the front and I'm in the back seat with the daughter? Wouldn't we?
Like a loner.
So we're... we're driving to my hotel, and she starts the conversation, and we're talking about parents, you know, parents, and whether your parents are still alive or not.
Yes.
And she said, I said, my dad is no longer with us. My mum is. My mum's 82. And she said, well, she said her dad is 82 and her mum is no longer alive. Hmm. All right. And so I said, fair enough. And I said, how's your dad going? And she said, well, he's... got the start of dementia, she said. I said, oh, that's sad. And I said, how is that playing out? She said, he's losing his inhibitions. And I'm like, oh, well, I said, well, how is that working? And she said, he continues to rack up the girlfriends at the age of 82.
Is he in a home?
I don't believe so, no. But he keeps getting new girlfriends. And she said he's got two girlfriends on the go at the moment. Wow. I said, at the age of 82, she said, yep, two girlfriends. And I said, oh, wow, good on him. And she said, yes, but it's tough for me. And I said, why? And she said, because I have to take him to the doctors to Yes. Yeah. She's got to take him to the doctors to get his Viagra prescriptions. So she's...
Wow.
And she said that it's embarrassing for her because they turn up there and they're at the doctor's and dad goes, why are we here? And she has to say, to get your Viagra.
Well, why? Because I would go, if you've forgotten, a blessing for both of us. Let's go home.
I actually said that to her and she said no because then he remembers later on and then she's got to go back. So you've got to follow it through because he's going through the Viagra. I said, how often are you going? She said, once a month.
Wow.
They're going to the doctors to get Viagra for her 82-year-old dad once a month.
And how many do you get in a bottle?
I asked that. I said to her, I don't know. And we didn't actually get the answer to that. I didn't get the answer.
Let me just
how many you get in a script.
Yes, how many have you got there, Ed?
Well, I sell them, so I've got close to 700.
So that's what she's up to. And then we discussed the girlfriends. I don't think she's not going to hit anyone.
What was the
She said that none of the girlfriends are as beautiful as her mum. So I said, yeah, well. Yeah.
What
was no one would
what
be.
Was the 16-year-old daughter making of that conversation?
She was in the she might have been eight. She was in the back just sort of laughing along. That's the truth. So anyway,
16 is the maximum. They come in strips of four and you can get up to 16 in a packet, but you apparently don't need to take the whole one. It's as needs be.
If he has dementia, early onset dementia,
Yeah.
Can he? Is he all right taking his Viagra? Like,
Would he forget and then take more?
How involved is she in the process?
I don't think she's. I don't know whether she's there giving him his pill when the date's happening.
Yeah.
This is going well, Dad. Let's grab one.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, and he'll be taking three at a time. No.
I'd love to hear from people
who do amazing things, don't they?
They do, because it's love.
That's incredible.
She loves her dad. She loves her dad. Yeah. Mm. I'd love to hear from people whose parents are dating.
Okay. If your parents are dating, it's Ed's day. A double pass to go and see Ed Sheeran at Accor Stadium. It's Friday the 24th of Feb, Saturday 25th of Feb. So 13 10 60, lines are open. Are your parents on the dating scene?
Was he dating? Is he dating in his age group?
He said the one of them. I'm not. Well, I only got to discuss one of them.
Or is he like an 82-year-old Leo DiCaprio?
No. She said that the woman, one of his girlfriends, is 82 as well, the same age. So yeah.
Wonder what she's going to the doctor to get.
So I got a trip, I got a lift from the airport with a woman who told me that her dad is 82 and she has to take him to the doctors to get his Viagra prescriptions filled. He's got a little bit of dementia, so he sometimes forgets why they're there at the doctors.
Yes.
But she has to.
It obviously all comes back to him at some point.
Yeah, so he's got two girlfriends on the go and, he's busy. She believes that the little bit of dementia is getting rid of his inhibitions, so he's really keen to rack up the girlfriends. I asked if they know about each other, these two, and she said they do. So maybe it is a bit of a throuple situation, which is a
well, I think more popular. In retirement homes, because there are so few men. The men become quite popular.
That is a reason to quit smoking, isn't it? Property. Is that a reason to quit smoking?
Sure
what?
Is.
Why is that a reason to quit smoking?
Stay alive.
Well, it's not for the women, is it?
No, for the men who,
right.
There's less competition the longer you live.
I don't think that's going to do it for you.
Anyway, I'm just saying for people in general, I'm not talking about me in particular. No doubt my wife will outlive me. Absolutely no doubt. Would.
Well, that's like the old joke. Why do men die before their wives? Because they want to.
Yep.
Yes.
No, come on.
Yes.
That's just not the humour I like. Karen from Avalon, who is the older person dating in your life?
Yes, it's my 96-year-old dad, returned from around the world cruise ship. I was helping him unpack his toiletries into his bathroom and found a pack of 24 condoms. Now, they are unused, but that's wishful thinking, isn't it?
Holy moly.
I know.
He bought a slab. He bought a case of condoms.
Perfect.
Were you 24. Yep. But were you disappointed they were unused? Were you like... Actually, maybe...
I'm not sure I was disappointed, but I did look at him and think, wow, you're on your walking stick, but boy.
Yeah,
but you know what? Did you ask him about them?
I didn't say a word.
No,
yeah, I did tell my sisters.
No. Yeah, of course you did. Yeah. But you know what? Let's face it. The fact they're unused doesn't mean he didn't have a good time.
All right.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
They might have been in case they asked. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, she might have been BYO. She might have had her own, so he didn't have to dip into his stash.
Well, there's a reasonable chance they didn't use them at all. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I do find it's amazing that they're being careful, isn't it?
Well, I mean, you think pregnancy, you'd imagine that the women he's with pregnancy wouldn't be a problem.
Well, we don't know. Don't dream too little for him.
Okay, here's Justine and Rudy Hill. We've just had 96. Now, you worked in aged care. God bless you, Justine.
Yes, I do.
Okay, how old is this client of yours?
He's 97.
97, okay.
Yeah, and what's he up to?
So he's at home still, so I do at home aged care.
Oh, God, we need your phone better. We need this story. We need to work on a phone. Can the producer get her phone and work it out? Can someone talk to her?
Try again, Justine. You work in aged care. You've got you work in homed care. Yeah. Sorry, you're absolutely right. Now you have a 97-year-old client.
It's also God's work.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Yep. We lost her? Oh, can we come back with her? Or what's happening?
Oh, we're desperate for Justin.
Here we go. Yep.
Yeah, he has dates, and I know they're coming because he makes me cook him dinner and change his bed sheets.
Oh.
Oh, the bed sheet change.
And he has. I think there's about three of them, actually.
He's got three women on the go at the age of 97.
How did he meet them?
He's on the internet a lot.
Oh.
Really?
God, imagine if he's saying he's like 45 or something and they turn up. And you're like, well, I'm here now.
Like, what does he say to you? He says they're coming over, someone's coming over, he name checks them.
Yeah, and he tells me, you know, I need to have a nice dinner tonight. Can you make sure my sheets are changed? Can you make sure the new towels are out? I'm like, okay, no worries.
Wow.
I'm a gentleman.
I thought aged care was in a crisis in this country, but this is sounding pretty sweet.
Keep on living.
Susie, Ed and Erin.
Right now, the teenagers strike back. Yesterday, Kate, you said that your teenagers are stealing all your stuff. It's a disgrace.
Well, you can't keep anything.
Well,
always gone.
We're going to speak
scissors,
to one.
Scissors, anything that you think you've put in a place, a secure place. Everything from, I have to hide packets of chippies. I have to hide cans of Coke.
Well,
I have to hide scissors. But you can't hide everything. My underpants, phone chargers.
All right. Well, the list goes on. But we're going to get to your 13-year-old son who wants his say soon. But we had a lot of callers on the same subject who were on your team, including who, Ed?
Well, Christy came out very hard against her children yesterday. Much like Kate, many of the same items have been taken. This is what she had to say.
And they take everything and anything and everything, from jewellery to clothes to underwear to shoes, my socks, my bags, everything. Even to a point where my 16-year-old daughter stole my expensive sheets so she could put them on her bed once they were washed.
Ooh, and that... That was the claim.
She had two daughters, I think. So that's really, that's up the stealing.
Well,
stakes.
It was the charge of sheets that has made Tori the official teenager of Christy. Yeah,
goodness.
Pick up the phone and give us a call. Hello, Tori. Thanks for joining us.
Hello.
Now, Tori, you heard the charges.
Yeah.
Which is that you basically are right up and amongst all your mum's stuff.
Yeah,
that's a guilty laugh. Has your mother
put mayo on that story just to impress our radio show, or did she speak the truth?
Between me and my sister, my little sister, yeah, they're true.
It's all true.
when are you doing this? Is it when your mum is out of the house?
Sometimes when she's out of the house, sometimes when she's like cleaning, or it's when she's occupied. It's just like
right.
If I take this, maybe I can sweeten the deal, give her a coffee and, you know, make up for it. It's just,
what about the sheet incident? Like, she bought new sheets for her own bed, and did you really steal them and put them on your bed?
Hey, they were in the cupboard. They were in the linen. I had no sheets. They looked nice.
Yeah, of course they looked nice. They were new sheets. That's why she'd bought them.
And did you cover them in fake tan, Tori?
Oh, yeah. It was by accident. I was supposed to put a protector down and
You forgot to put the protector down.
Yeah.
And that.
Yeah.
So did you destroy those sheets or are they still usable?
Oh, no. They're gone.
Come on.
Oh,
Tori.
No. Well, what colour were they, out of interest?
White.
Oh, okay.
Do you have a job, Tori, at all? Do you do any work?
I have a job, yeah.
What? Yep. So you're bringing in money to the house. Do you pay any board? Do you give your money? Give your mum any money at all ever?
No.
And when you know, I'm interested by when you said like when your mum is cleaning.
Yeah.
You find yourself with time to go fossicking through her drawers while she's cleaning.
Not exactly. It's
do you clean? Do you clean?
Yes, I do.
So you help her?
Yes. It's not exactly. It's like, I know Mum has this and
yeah, I'm going to
like borrow it. Away.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, do you know what you have done?
Unapologetic is what I didn't hear any remorse in that.
Do you know what? I love her honesty.
Mm.
Well, what about your...
That's all I can love, Tori, because I'm very much in your mother's situation.
Yeah, but does she get Ed Sheeran tickets? Is that right?
No, her mother does.
Tori, you've got yourself or your mum or I don't know, works at your joint.
They're for Christy. They're Christy's tickets. You are not to take them, Tori, unless your mum is going to take you.
Good luck with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Tori.
Can we come back and speak to Caitlin Brooke's son? Can we do
that? My 13-year-old.
Yes, because I know he is reluctant to speak on the radio at all because what he says on... when he goes on radio, you remember and use it as a rod to beat him
I'd forgotten. But last time, he just reminded me last night, last time he was on the radio, he said that his alleged father, my husband Peter, was his favourite parent.
And you just...
and then he said, for the next month, every time I asked you for something, you said, why don't you ask your favourite parent?
So
he's just a bit nervous.
Well, no, he shouldn't
be. But he's delightful and I adore him.
We want the whole truth.
Susie, Ed and Erin.
Actually, does our next caller get Ed Sheeran's tickets?
Oh, does he?
I think he might. Who is our next caller?
Hi.
This is Jan Lewis. He is the son, the 13-year-old son of Kate Langbrook. Mate, did you hear about what your mother said about you on the radio yesterday?
No, what did she say?
Okay, so we were talking about teenagers taking things from their parents, right?
Phone chargers, cords, remote controls, all that stuff.
Now, let me hasten to add, Yanni, you're not so bad at this, but only because you don't have a phone yet.
Yep.
But you know it's an ongoing thing in our house, isn't it? Papa and I are always like, who's taken stuff off us and who is it always?
It's always you misplacing things.
Oh, I know what this is like. They blame the victim. It's a victim-blaming situation.
Jan. So we were just camping, right? We went and stayed with Nana Ree, Peter's mum.
She won't forget this, Jan, by the way. She won't forget this.
Had a great camping trip. You just came back yesterday. But what did you lose while we were camping?
I didn't lose it. Lewis lost it.
No, hang on. You went down to go Pokemon hunting with Lewis, but you had taken Artie, your brother's toiletry bag, down to the river.
Yeah.
Remember?
I brushed my teeth on the way down there.
Which was a miracle. No,
actually, you're brushing teeth in a river. What are we doing here?
He was in the toilet block.
Oh, right. Yep, right, yep.
And then I walked down to the river. And we were down at the river and I was, like, sitting on the end of the diving board and I chucked the toiletry bag to Lewis and then we locked, and then it wasn't with me after that.
Yeah, it wasn't with you.
So you're saying you gave it to Lewis to hold on to. You said, keep this safe. I don't want to be responsible for this. You're responsible for this, Lewis. So does he admit that's a true story or does he claim that he had no recollection of it?
He claims that he gave it back to him, but he didn't.
Oh, he said he gave it back to him.
But in that toiletry bag, your sister was furious at you because in that toiletry bag was my shampoo that she had stolen from me.
Yeah.
And how angry was she?
Well, she woke me up at like 7, screaming at me, so...
Just scream about missing shampoo.
Who's the victim of this? Me. Because they've stopped making that shampoo.
Have they?
Yeah.
Why?
It's an Italian company. They reckon they can't make the packaging. I'm like, that's insane. So, they just can't be bothered.
Well, it's unlucky, isn't it? Discontinued brand of Italian shampoo.
All the shampoos to have lost that one.
Oh, well, thank you, Yanni. It's a pleasure.
Hey,
now,
Yanni, do you want Ed Sheeran tickets?
Do I want what?
Ed Sheeran tickets. You want to go see Ed Sheeran? We're giving away Ed Sheeran tickets all morning. That's exciting, isn't it, Yanni?
Yeah. Sure.
You need to pump up the excitement meter.
He's not getting the ticket.
Bad luck to you, Yanni, but that means
that
it'll lose him anyway.
Charlene from Box Hill, Jan's loss is your gain because you're going to Ed Sheeran instead. Well done.
Yay!
Well done.
See,
well done.
That's it, Yanni. Did you hear that?
Susie, Ed, and Erin.